Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One Sportsnet production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you can save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com. Once again, it's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today, GEICO.com.
Like women, accuracy, and charisma, Dan Patrick has successfully avoided Chris Mannix.
What are your expectations for Golden State this year?
Depending on how Clay comes back, could win the conference. Really could.
But the Danettes are not so light.
I don't know if you can get on board with this call.
It's going to be really tough.
They're holding down the Mercedes Man Cave while Dan is preparing our Super Bowl shows in Miami.
We have tickets. They're free. You go online to Dan in MIA, capital MIA.com.
Sitting in for Dan Patrick, this is Chris Mannix on the Dan Patrick Show.
Hour three of the program, Dan Patrick Show, third and final hour of the week. Dan is off already on his way down to Miami. The boys will be down there tomorrow. Full week of shows down on Miami, on South Beach, in Miami, on South Beach. Seton, I hear you can go attend these shows.
You sure can. You could be in our live audience, our live studio audience, and get a nice big hug from Fritzy if you're so inclined. It's daninmia.com is the website to get your free tickets.
Free tickets?
Free tickets.
Worth every penny.
Daninmia.com.
I think I might stop by next week.
You should.
Pop into the studio audience. I'll be down there for a boxing match on Thursday.
That's convenient for you. Well, is that a boxing match you needed to cover?
I need to cover live on DAZN. Part of my responsibilities. Thursday night, Demetrius Andrade headlining a middleweight champion. Yes, Eden.
Can you get us tickets?
Sure.
To the fight?
Yeah, I would go. All right. You want in? All four of you? Ready to go?
Maybe. I'm just bringing that on these guys.
I like boxing.
Boxing's fun.
Last boxing match I saw in person was Haseem Rahman.
Ooh, when?
Like 15 years ago. Remember Andrew Gullotta and those guys?
Yes.
And after we were in row three, and after Haseem Rahman fought, he came and he sat in the seat next to us with his girlfriend or wife afterwards. He was real nice.
Yeah. Haseem Rahman, now a trainer in boxing. Got a lot of mileage out of that one win over Lennox Lewis.
Who's right now the best fighter on earth, either perception-wise, fame-wise, or actual Lomachenko, other?
Canelo Alvarez, up and down the spectrum. I think he's the best fighter in boxing, pound for pound, and he's clearly the biggest star in boxing right now. I mean, his fights are the equivalent of must-see TV for boxing fans, and he can fight all over the world and make a lot of money. Anthony Joshua, probably the biggest global star, but North America, Canelo Alvarez financially, Canelo Alvarez all day long.
Alvarez Golovkin, that's going to happen again one more time or no?
We're optimistic. The Zone is optimistic anyway that it happens sometime in September. Canelo probably going to go, or at least leaning towards going over to Japan for his next fight, to fight maybe in the Tokyo Dome over there against a guy named Ryota Murata. But if he gets through that fight and Golovkin gets through his next fight in April, I think in September you'll see the third fight. At least you're hopefully going to see a third fight between those guys.
Who's my guy, Teofimo?
Teofimo Lopez. Yeah. Fighting Lomachenko. Big fight in April or May.
Those are two entertaining fighters.
Entertaining fighters. Teofimo is a showman out there.
Is he from Brooklyn?
He's from Brooklyn. I think he lives in Vegas now, but from Brooklyn, yes.
Look at me dropping knowledge.
2016 Olympian. Probably the best Olympian from that class right now, without question. World champion already. Chance to fight for the unified championship, undisputed championship. No date set yet. But I think April or May is the targeted date, either in New York or in Los Angeles. Go to that one, too. Look at you guys. Boxing guys hitting up these fights. I think, actually, the fight itself on this weekend is at the new DirecTV stadium down there, the one they're building for entertainment stuff.
And we didn't get our invite.
They
invited you.
They didn't invite me. I'm doing the show, part of the broadcast. Don't be so offended. I'll get you tickets. If you can't get them through other means...
What good is having this thin skin if we can't get offended, Chris?
Seriously, no kidding. All right, lots to get to in this hour. Quick update on Antonio Brown, the former Patriots wide receiver, Raiders wide receiver, kind of Steelers wide receiver. He showed up at his first court appearance today. He was wearing an anti-suicide smock. His bond was set $100,000 for the burglary and battery charge. The judge ordered Brown to wear a GPS monitor, surrender his passport, and undergo a mental health evaluation. So, maybe good news for Antonio Brown. If he's ordered to undergo a mental health evaluation, maybe something comes of it. We know his former agent, Drew Rosenhaus, who parted ways with him at least temporarily until Brown gets some help. He had lingering questions about that. All the actions taken by Antonio Brown over the last 6 months suggest there might be something wrong with him. So with the court stepping in, ordering a mental health evaluation, ordering him to go through drug and alcohol testing, maybe that's something that could at least get Antonio Brown steered in the right direction. His NFL career, probably over at this point, 32 years old, and everything that's happened over the last 6 months. But I guess you can never say never. If Antonio Brown suddenly goes through a transformation, Perloff, over the next 4 months, if it turns out something was wrong with him, that there was a mental illness there, I can see a handful of teams taking a flyer on Antonio Brown.
Yeah, we got an interesting tweet comparison. How about Richie Incognito, a guy who you would have thought would be done? I mean, had all sorts of problems. So you're right. I mean, the only thing with him is his position is so age-dependent, that he's got to turn around quickly, I think.
I think the opportunity will be granted to him because, assuming he gets all the help that he may need, I think the opportunity will be there because he left the game as arguably the best wide receiver in the game. So even though he is 32 years old, the talent last seen was there, right? Like, it was on display.
What's the take in New England about the Patriots cutting him? Are people defending Antonio Brown and think that was a mistake, or was there no choice at that point?
I think that the fans wanted to keep him. I think sports fans in general and Patriots fans in this context, they can pretty much justify everything. And for the weeks leading up to the Patriots signing Antonio Brown, what was the big narrative around New England? Their wide receiver corps were weak. No Rob Gronkowski at tight end. Brady needed help. And then that first game, Brown had a touchdown against the Dolphins, and it looked to me like Brady was trying to force-feed him the ball, try to develop chemistry almost in real time. And the trickle-down effect of Antonio Brown being cut is that, as we sit here, Tom Brady may be playing in another uniform next year. Would he be in another uniform if Antonio Brown had been able to last the whole season in New England? Would their season have ended differently if Antonio Brown had been the receiver that we all know he can be? Tom Brady right now is weighing his options out there. You've all seen the reports. He moved out of that house in the Boston area. He's moved to Connecticut. He's looking at free agency. He's not no guarantee at all that he's going to wind up back in New England after this season. A lot of that can be traced back to Antonio Brown. It's not everything. But the Patriots' decision not to significantly upgrade their receiver corps last offseason, cutting Antonio Brown, all of that is part of the narrative surrounding Tom Brady right now. Yeah, Paulie.
There's something that's kind of confusing with the Patriots' situation with Brady. Brady made it pretty clear that he wanted to play and wanted to play next year right after the season. I'm not retiring. Then he put the post on Instagram. I'm ready to play. I'm not done. I got a lot to prove. He basically put the ball in the Patriots' court of, do you want me back? Okay, I'm ready to play. And then the Patriots come out, and there's a story going on right now that the Patriots want to know what his intentions are before March so they can make their draft and free agency plans. Those don't match. He said he wants to play. Or is he? It was his message, I want to play, but I want to be paid the full boat because I've given you guys a bunch of hometown discounts. Every other year, he basically redoes his contract to give them more cap room to sign players. It's confusing what's going on there.
There's a chunk of the story that's not out there yet, a big chunk of the story, whether it is some kind of more serious rift with Bill Belichick, which I think is the most likely scenario in all this, because it doesn't make sense for the Patriots not to want to commit to Tom Brady at a good number over 2 years. It's not like they're sitting there right now with Jimmy Garoppolo waiting in the wings. Does anybody know if Jared Stidham can play? Does anybody believe that Teddy Bridgewater is like this big upgrade over Tom Brady? I know he struggled last year, but he is just a year removed from being considered an elite quarterback, arguably the best quarterback, or at least a top five quarterback in all of football. There's no reason to absolutely believe that last season was the beginning of the end. You heard about the report, Mike Giardi from NFL Network said he's got some elbow problem. What if that resolves itself in the offseason? What if they get better wide receivers this season? They were playing with what? Mohamed Sanu, who didn't work out for that team. They had second and third string tight ends. You had N'Keal Harry, who didn't make that big of an impact as a rookie wide receiver with that team. Edelman was still Edelman, but it doesn't – you give him a little more weapons, why can't we at least believe it's possible that Tom Brady could return to that highest level? That's why I think there's something missing in this story. Something serious has gone on behind the scenes that's causing this disconnect. Otherwise, you'd say, all right, Tom, here's a two-year deal. You want the money? Look at all you've accomplished. And you're going to balk over a two-year deal at big money when you have nothing waiting in the wings? None of that makes any sense from a pure football perspective. Yeah, Paulie.
Well, another thing I don't understand is where Belichick fits into this. He's 67. I'm sure he does not want to quit coaching. Nobody wants to quit coaching. But I wonder if he wants to get to the last era of his coaching faster. Like if Tom Brady leaves now and he goes to a new quarterback, whether it's a 28-year-old or a rookie, he starts that now. He's delaying it by 2 years with a Brady on the backside of his career. You know, I know this is convoluted, but I wonder if Belichick, almost like the Bulls did with Michael Jordan and those guys, said let's do the rebuild now. He wants to get the rebuild going if it's going to happen. He doesn't want to delay it for 2 years. If he doesn't think he could win with his current quarterback.
Right, but nothing is stopping the Patriots from drafting a quarterback in, like, the first round this year. Like, let's say Tua slips because of the hip injury and falls all the way down to the Patriots, wherever they're drafting in the mid to late 20s. There's nothing stopping them from taking him and sitting him on the bench for a couple of years while Tom Brady finishes his career. Like, at most, he's going to have 2, maybe 3 years left. Why wouldn't you draft the quarterback of the future and have him play behind him and then go out and spend whatever capital you have left on a top-shelf wide receiver? Upgrade those corps and then deal with the quarterback situation in the draft. I'm not sitting here thinking Teddy Bridgewater is the difference between Tom Brady and a championship with this team. Yes, Eden.
Because it does say if you just look at the last 5 years, they're on a pretty good run of making it to the Super Bowl. I mean, they've been in four of the last 5 years. They've been in there and won three of them. So it seems a little premature to me that people think all of a sudden Tom Brady is the problem or, you know, that it's not worth sticking it out with him there in New England. But, I mean, the offense was clearly a problem in the Rams game.
Yeah.
That Rams Super Bowl because they couldn't put up any points. But then, you know, the year before that with the Eagles, it was a defensive problem. So, you know, it's a little up and down year by year.
It is. And the offense, though, in that game made a big play with Gronk that passed down the field. I mean, they came up with a big play when they needed to come up with a big play. I'd also like to know what Brady's thinking about. Like, for Brady, is it so bad in New England that you think the L.A. Chargers might be a better fit? Is it so bad in New England that you're considering playing for Mike Vrabel in Tennessee? Like, does Tom Brady move the needle for those teams that much that it makes sense for him to go there? Like the LA Chargers, you add Tom Brady instead of Philip Rivers, are they measurably better next year? Maybe if Brady regains the form we saw from 2 years ago, but I don't think so. Yeah, Paul.
That does go back to that story a few years ago where the Belichick and some management wanted to keep Garoppolo and stay with him. And that Brady, the rumored story was he had to go to Robert Kraft and have Robert Kraft to put the foot down and say, we're moving this guy. You're our quarterback for the next few years. I wonder if that would stick and say, like, you know what? They weren't going to be loyal to me. What's the reason for me to be loyal to them?
Maybe it did, but I don't think loyalty should have anything to do with it at that time. If Jimmy Garoppolo looked like, well, clearly Jimmy Garoppolo was a player. Like he clearly is a high-level quarterback, and Bill Belichick could see that in the limited time that Garoppolo had the field, took the field. And look, if Garoppolo was still around, I would be all on board with the idea that you move off of Tom Brady. But you don't have him there. And what has Jared Stidham played in a – the only time I saw Stidham play was when he came into that game early in the season, threw a pick six, and then was yanked out of it.
Yeah, it was a, they were up by like three touchdowns. They put Hoyer in – or no, they put in someone. Hoyer's on
the – I think they put Brady back in.
They put Brady back in. I know, which killed the Stidham killed the line. I bet the Patriots that game.
But Garoppolo played in three NFL games and got the biggest contract in quarterbacking history.
Played really well, though.
Right.
In
but
those, three. It was really two and a half.
Two and a half.
He hurt in that, the halftime.
And then he became the highest paid quarterback in the sport.
Well, but I mean, I think there was a build-up to that. Plus,
right,
Garoppolo was a second-round pick coming out of, what was it, Eastern Illinois at that point. And he had kind of a – there was like kind of a Tony Romo vibe to him coming out of the draft. So I think that there was more evidence to give – Jimmy Garoppolo, that type of contract. Yeah, Perlo.
Andy Dalton comes to New England. Excite you?
I feel like that was like a manufacturer. Somebody asked Peter King that, and he just like answered it, and it became like Andy Dalton for the Patriots. I don't know. He's fine, but I don't look at Andy Dalton as being the reason to fracture your relationship with Tom Brady. It would just be weird for all that.
I mean, I agree. There's one logical spot for him next year.
Where?
Fox
Patriots,
Park.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not the Chargers. You can't move off Ryan Tannehill if you're the Titans. You can't.
Yeah, you might as well just go run with that. Why not?
Yes, Eden.
I think you're right. It's the only place that makes sense. But sort of getting back to what you were saying before, hard feelings can be pretty powerful.
Yeah.
You know.
I think Gronk had some hard feelings. I don't think Gronk wanted to play for Belichick anymore. Maybe
right.
Brady feels the same way. Yeah. Yep.
Dan compared it to when the Bulls split up the Jordan team and drafted Eddie Curry and Tyson Chandler. That Krause wanted to move on. You know.
That's true. Jerry Krause did want to move on from that group.
And they did it a year early, but they've said that they could have signed Jordan, Pippen, and Rodman for one max deal each, one full. Because remember the Larry Bird rule? The last 2 years, Michael Jordan made $33 million. He made about three per year before that. Because of the Larry Bird rule, they weren't against the cap with him or Pippen. They could have kept both those guys for one more year.
You know, we talk about, we will talk about college players being paid, but NBA players, the stars are grossly underpaid. Michael Jordan at $33 million, what was Michael Jordan worth to the Bulls back then? $100 million?
And he was only paid his last two seasons, Jordan got most of his career salary. He made about $3,500,000 a year for his first 10 years.
LeBron's a max player right now. What's he worth to the Lakers? $200 million? I mean, the NBA, it revolves around LeBron James and the games that he plays in. Like, he is a singular ratings driver that consistently puts up big numbers. The Lakers consistently sell out and do huge numbers of merchandise because of LeBron James. I think he's making $35, $40 million this year. It should be double that. He is worth double that amount of money. Star players, and it could be true for all sports, but I know in the NBA, star players are underpaid at that level. The mid-level players, they get taken care of at a high level because of the negotiations. You got I think the mid-level salary in the NBA is like $10 million. Like, you get – like, Aaron Baines this summer is probably going to get $10 million. Like, that type of player – is getting paid big money. He's not worth a quarter of what LeBron James is worth. Simple as that. Yeah, Perlo.
Yeah, we play this song that makes fun of Cleveland. And one of the
Cleveland.
Lines is, yeah, you know, I guess, our economy is dependent on LeBron James. I mean, the dude runs the economy of an entire metropolitan area. Your $200 million is maybe conservative.
All right, 877-3DP show is the phone number. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. So glad you guys like the 2020 DP show calendar. We've sent out almost 2,500, and there's still time to get yours. Now 30% off on danpatrick.com or the Dan Patrick app. When we come back, I do want to talk about the comments that Mark Emmert made at his State of the NCAA media availability just yesterday in Anaheim, California, and what that means for the potential of paying players in 2020 and beyond. We'll talk about that next, coming up on 18 minutes past the hour. This is the Dan Patrick Show.
Hey, it's Paulie Papps from the Dan Patrick Show. We've got an awesome podcast to tell you about today. It's The Big Podcast with Shaq. Of course it's big. Tune in every week as Shaq and his crew cover sports, entertainment, and a lot more with Shaq. That's the only way the Diesel does it. The show is full of laughs and amazing stories. Stay tuned to the end of this episode from a great clip from The Big Podcast with Shaq. Then be sure to subscribe on Podcast One, Apple Podcasts, and many other podcast listening apps. so you don't miss an episode.
As we speak, Eli Manning taking questions from New York reporters, officially announcing his retirement from the NFL after 16 seasons. No huge surprise there after Eli lost his job midway through this one. So I guess, Perloff, tell me, could Eli have been a – could he have signed somewhere else?
As a backup.
As a backup.
He couldn't have even been a bridge for a young guy.
Okay.
So, no, that's what multiple reports, Peter King and a few other people said there was no job.
Yeah, because there was a time when, even before the start of this season, that you looked at, like, Jacksonville as being a possibility there.
Because Tom Coughlin.
And, you know, and maybe even before Tannehill took off, you could have said, you know, go down to Tennessee and, you know, play behind Mariota for a minute. Yeah, probably.
If you were Eli, would you take a backup job just to keep getting paid and play?
Nah. He's probably made a ton of money in his career. He's got a future on television, too. I don't know. Not as telegenic as his brother, but I think he's got a pretty good future as a television commentator. Yeah, Paulie.
The two rings makes him feel complete. I mean, he's sitting there today. I'm sure he would like to play more football, but he doesn't need it. There's not something sticking there. He's got two rings in New York. He's going to get in the Hall of Fame no matter what anybody thinks, and he's the highest paid player in NFL history.
Two rings get you in the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Absolutely.
It's hard not to.
Yep. We were talking about it yesterday with Dan as far as having Tony Romo versus Peyton and Eli. Is Eli, and you know, Peyton obviously has a much better personality, but Eli, in and of himself, would he be able to do that well, you know, with that awestruck kind of personality, unless he's able to flip a switch and there's something about broadcasting that we don't know about what he can deliver? I'd probably start him in the studio. Maybe it's an ESPN gig in one of their 900 studio shows that they do and see how he fares there before I put him in a broadcast booth. If I did put him in a broadcast booth, I'd probably make him the third or fourth guy. You know, they've got so many teams now in the NFL. You could certainly... His mind, I think you'd want someone like that, his perspective in the booth. Yeah, Paulie.
Don't confuse Eli Manning's demeanor as the Giants quarterback with his actual demeanor. He was in New York. He played that Derek Jeter role of, I want to give the media nothing. I want to do nothing. I want to go to work and try to be a member of the team. And he did that for years. He's an entertaining, funny guy. He's just not as entertaining as gregarious as his brother, who embraced it more. So Tony Romo, no one thought he was funny until he took the job. No one thought he was going to be good on air until he did become good on air. Eli is from a media family. He's done a lot more stuff in the media, a lot more funny commercials than Tony Romo ever did.
First retired quarterback to get a TV job, Andrew Luck or Eli Manning?
I don't think Andrew Luck has a TV in his house. He's got books and like a wood stove.
Where in the world is Andrew Luck right now?
No one's interviewed him.
No one's unclear.
Silicon Valley? Stanford? I thought there were some rumors he's going to get into that business.
I mean, has there been a sighting?
He announced that he and his family were going to stay in Indianapolis for the time being. They just had a baby, I think, 2 months ago.
Okay. I wonder if he's being seen at the local Target, you know, hanging out. I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen anything about Andrew Luck in the last 6 months.
You're not going to.
Just gone from sight. Out of sight and out of mind. All right, 877-3DP shows the phone number. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. We have our Golden Road moment of the weekend. And apparently, guys, on Monday, Melissa Etheridge rolled through and sang her version of the Chiefs Super Bowl song.
I got my friends and family all blowing up my phone. My kids think I've gone crazy as I'm running around my home. Well, I heard Dan Patrick wanted me to call into his show. Well, the Chiefs must have won the AFC and we're headed to the Super Bowl. When I was just a little girl upon my daddy's knee, I remember it like yesterday. It was 1970. Oh, the Chiefs had Lenny Dawson, then Buck Buchanan and Bobby Bell. Oh, the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl. I heard my daddy yell. Well, 50 years they came and went, and sometimes we got close. Gonzalez never got to go, Jamal nor the great Priest Holmes. So many times it broke my heart, thought I might never know. But the Chiefs just broke that playoff curse, and now they're headed to the Super Bowl. I've seen the closest thing to Superman this girl has ever known. We traded up in 17 for the greatest Pat Mahomes. And now I'll never worry, even if we fall behind. Because the way that number 15 plays is blowing people's minds. Now if there's anything I love as much as California weed, it's Tyreek, Kelce, Frank, and Chris, Honey Badger, Andy Reid. So take me back to Kansas, barbecue and rock and roll. Because the Chiefs just won the AFC. We're headed to the Super Bowl. Well, the Chiefs just won the AFC.
Super Bowl.
How about that? Melissa Etheridge, is there a backstory behind that? Did you guys ask her to write something?
Well, we've had her on a few times over the years. She's been in studio, and she did a little song for us last year. Fritzy called her to come on the other day and said, hey, if you could whip up a song real quick. And that was about 12 hours before she joined us.
That's a talent right there.
That was amazing. She did it that quickly because it was like Sunday night and she hadn't written anything yet. And all of a sudden, the next morning, that's what she performed.
I mean, that's someone with a deep knowledge of Chiefs history there. If you're dropping, you know, anyone from Tyreek Hill to Priest Holmes, you're invested.
Weed and Andy Reid.
That was good. That was the best line of it all. Making the transition from California Weed to Andy Reid, that's pretty special right there. That's your Golden Road moment of the week. If you haven't tried Golden Road Brewing yet, you're missing out. Those guys are all about bringing you the finest quality craft beer available. Mango Cart is inspired by the iconic fruit cart vendors of Los Angeles. It's an incredibly crisp and refreshing light wheat ale bursting with lots of fresh mango. And then there's my personal favorite, Wolf Pup Session IPA, offered in a can and draft. Wolf Pup Session IPA is hoppy and refreshing with aromatic tropical and citrus character. Brewed to stand out, you'll find Mango Cart and Wolf Pup Session IPA available in all 50 states. California-inspired Golden Road, brewing fresh craft beer since 2011. Nice work by Melissa Etheridge there with that song. So Eli Manning announcing his retirement. We'll try to get some of that sound before the end of the show. 16-year NFL career, Hall of Famer to be. Perloff, give me an update on the poll question before I turn this back to Mark Emmert and what he said yesterday in Anaheim.
Who would you have voted for in the All-Star Game in the Eastern Conference among the guards? I gave Trae Young, who's a starter, Ben Simmons, Kyle Lowry, Bradley Beal. 48% Trae Young, 23% Ben Simmons, 16% Kyle, and 13% Brad Beal.
You know, no respect for Kyle Lowry. The workmanlike effort of Kyle Lowry every single night doesn't draw fan attention. That's disappointing to me. Get with it, fans. Kyle Lowry should be your All-Star starter this year alongside Kemba Walker.
You just said a workmanlike, Toronto.
Dutiful.
If he didn't win a title, would you have said this?
I mean, the playoffs certainly gave him a bounce last year, the way he played, especially in the finals towards the end. I mean, he was good. So that was my vote. Kyle Lowry got my vote over Ben Simmons. I did not vote for Trae Young as an All-Star starter. All right, so we were having a discussion earlier about, you know, paying college players, and it's topical right now because Mark Emmert, the president of the NCAA, in his annual State of the NCAA address, you know, this issue was front and center because there seems to be a lot of ideas being kicked around as to how to compensate players. Certainly a lot of momentum for it, given what happened in California with the law that was passed there and other laws that seem to be either on the books or about to be on the books across this country. Florida has one that they're openly discussing right now. Mark Emmert, and Paulie, I'm going to paraphrase him a little bit, tell him if I'm wrong. It seems like he's trending in the direction of paying players are letting players get paid off their own likeness.
It appears that he realizes there's a lot of lawyers in that building, and they may realize they don't have a leg to stand on as the California legislature and Florida and other states follow up saying, we're going to make a rule that says these athletes can do it. And instead of fighting it, it appears they're going to allow it because then they're paid outside the building.
Right. And Mark Emmert says there's a clear consensus on the need to change athlete pay rules, and then he follows that up by having some kind of, I don't know, it seemed like he had a word vomit out there up there on the stage where I don't know exactly what he was saying. It was very lawyerly talk in addressing this particular issue. But it does boil down to athletes at the highest level, if they can get paid off their likeness, if they can get paid to sign autographs, they will eventually have the power to go and do that. Now, some people, including my friends behind the glass here, they don't think that is going far enough. You guys, I think, almost universally believe that players should be getting some kind of payment, whether it's minimum wage for 20 hours a week or maybe some kind of stipend for what they get. I take the other tact. I think that a star player being able to capitalize on his own likeness, and let's be real, Trevor Lawrence, how much money could Trevor Lawrence make? Let's say it starts now. Over the next calendar year, how much money could Trevor Lawrence make off his own likeness?
It's almost unlimited because he could sign trading cards, autographs. He could partner with a shoe company. He could partner with glasses, anything that he wears on game day if it doesn't conflict with what Clemson wears.
But we're talking seven figures, right?
If he had smart people around him, yeah.
He's playing for a national title contender. He's been in the college football playoff the last couple of years. He's played well. He's been a champion. I mean,
You would think he'd also be able to sign with an agent to represent him in these business dealings.
I think you'd have to have
one. And the agent can front him as much money as they choose.
Yeah. I mean, that's a slippery slope you step on there with how much money that they're fronting and expecting it back on the back end. But I think some kind of marketing agent would be necessary, someone that can show you the ropes, because you can't just, like, walk into a meeting with Nike and say, like, all right, sure, I'll take that deal. But free sneakers for life? Awesome.
The tough part about this is, how does it work at the 17-year-old level?
Yeah.
On the recruiting trail, can you promise a 17-year-old Trevor Lawrence, hey, if you control your own likeness, I guarantee you when you get here, we're going to offer you $10,000 a week to sign autographs at the local mall. Guaranteed. This is in verbal contract. And as soon as you become an NCAA athlete, we can make it a written contract, and it'll be taxed and above board and everything.
Look, that to me, though, is the only viable option here. I don't believe that paying players minimum wage actually works, nor do I believe that certain players deserve to be paid minimum wage, because it's not a popular position, but a scholarship accounts for something. Paula, you were saying in the first hour how you were paid to work at the student newspaper, but you also said that if you were given the option of having free tuition or getting paid by the student newspaper, you would take the free tuition. And that's what these players are getting. Tuition nowadays, what does it run, even at state schools? $20,000 per year, all the way up north of $70,000 per year at some of these top-flight schools? That's not nothing. And for the players who are like, if you make, what are the 90-something players on a college football depth chart?
95.
If you're looking at players like 10 to 95, those players, in terms of overall talent, have no shot of making the NFL. So they have the opportunity to use that $200,000 education to springboard themselves into their next phase of their careers. That I think that has to count for something. They are getting something out of being a part of that university. It's not a fair trade. These coaches, we just saw Ed Orgeron, who, by the way, deserves every nickel, signed a six-year, $42 million deal with LSU. I mean, a huge contract. These college coaches are vastly overpaid. These stadiums are palaces out there right now. So the money's going into some stuff. I think players deserve to get a piece of it, but I don't think there is, like, this equitable way to do it. I don't think there's an obvious path to get these guys paid. I would be very much in favor of making sure that meal card they have never runs out. They can use that for anything they want on campus in terms of food plans. I would also give them some kind of path to having free plane tickets to fly home for holidays and to deal with the family stuff that they may not get to. I would do everything humanly possible to make their life as manageable as possible as a student athlete. But the idea of paying players, of paying the, you know, the backup kicker or the fourth string linebacker a minimum wage, it just doesn't resonate with me, not when they are getting a scholarship that is valued at $30,000 or $40,000. Yes, Eden.
How do you determine, though, who gets free plane tickets home whenever they want?
I think y'all do.
So why is that plane ticket more reasonable for the fourth string linebacker, but $7.50, $7.25 an hour isn't?
I think it's just a plane ticket to wherever you need to go, it should be part of the student athlete package. Like that should just be part of it all. I don't know if it's probably worth more, frankly, than no, maybe not. They're doing $750 an hour, $200, I don't know, whatever the math is on that. But it's certainly valuable. I think everyone should have that. That should be all the money and the revenue they're bringing in. It should go towards plane tickets and meal plans and things that make life easier for student athletes, which is valuable too in and of itself. Yeah, Fritz.
At the very least, it sounds more palatable than handing out gift cards or, you know, envelopes of cash or, you know, just putting paychecks in their dorm mailboxes or something like that. Just for I'd say a lot of the general public, that just seems like, at least if you have a reason, you're sending someone to see the family or you're sending them somewhere, whatever it is, that there's a specific reason why you're giving them that money, and they all get the same, I guess.
Putting a paycheck in someone's mailbox doesn't sound reasonable to the general public. It's like how we all get paid.
In terms of a student athlete that's already getting a $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 ride for a school.
Well, see, do you dismiss the value of the scholarship?
The scholarship? Actually, no, I think the scholarship is great. I think people need to start being a little bit more realistic and open-minded. Of course the scholarship is valuable, and for everybody in the world, like, I failed out of college, all right, and it would have been a real shame to waste the scholarship if I had one. But, yeah, scholarship would have been awesome. That would have been great. And for normal people, absolutely, there's tremendous value in that. And for the fourth string linebacker, like you keep bringing up, yeah, there's value in that for him too, because he's probably not going to the NFL, but there is a select group of people that are going pro, and they're only there because they have to be, and they're different. They're completely different than the journalism student going to BC. They are not on the same planet.
Right.
And I don't see why putting a couple dollars in everybody's pocket is that revolutionary of an idea, where somehow coordinating plane tickets for everybody sounds easier and more realistic. I don't get. What about for the kid that grew up in Ohio and goes to Ohio State and he doesn't fly home, he drives home? Does he get a free Greyhound bus ticket then?
UberX.
You know what I mean? Like, if you start putting that, it's kind of ridiculous. It's kind of absurd. Whereas here's $200 a week for all your troubles practicing. How is that hard of a concept for people to grasp?
It's not hard to grasp. I just keep comparing it to the value of the scholarship, and that's almost like they're getting, like, do you not look at it this way? Like, they're getting paid $40,000 a year. Like, you don't see it that way?
No, I don't.
Why not?
Because the school, the only reason those kids are being offered that $40,000 a year in the scholarship is so the school can make tens of millions of dollars off of them.
Off of a select few. Most guys that they pay the X dollars for tuition are not driving revenue at all for them. Many of them are not even playing at different times during their careers there. So, I don't know. I just think that amount of money has to be taken into account in all this. You're kind of turning me a little bit on the idea of, like, just fine, like, give them $750 an hour and $200 a week, or just screw it, just say $200 a week for these guys. Don't even make it a minimum wage. Give them some kind of stipend every single week. I think going with the, you know, guys getting paid off their own likeness is a step in the right direction. I want to see if that works and then see if it leads to anything from there. Yeah, Paulie.
Just remember that scholarship, they don't pay for your scholarship.
No, they
don't.
They're
not writing a check. They're basically letting you on a ride for free. They're letting you in the building for free and handing you a piece of paper when you're done. There's no max, enrollment at a college.
No, there's not, but things cost money.
There's like, room and board, and there's
not even room and board. If you got to go to an elite university, you got to pay the teachers a solid amount of money.
But the tuition, and, you know, they don't max out classrooms. I teach, you know, at a college. They're letting you have a diploma for free, an education for free, but it's not coming out of anybody's pocket. No one else is not getting into school because those football players are.
That's true.
They're additional inventory. And so they're handing you a free college education, but they're not paying for your college education. They're avoiding paying at all times. It works out great for the player. A degree is important and should be valued, and you are saving that money. But they're not going into their pockets for anything else. And you bring in revenue to a school. Who else in our country works for anything where they can bring in revenue and don't get minimum wage?
That's true.
But did you change your mind today?
You've started to turn me around there a little bit on the paying these guys. I have always been an advocate for the whole make money off your likeness, because the star players, I mean, they are selling the tickets, like the stars of Clemson and LSU and all these guys, they are what people are tuning into. Like, the money that, what was that SEC deal that they just made with ESPN? Like, worth just billions of dollars.
You got
to
be more specific.
Sorry, whatever. The SEC, the one they took from CBS. Like, that being the money that's worth, that's all because of the star players. And they should be allowed to make as much money as humanly possible. That's always been the top priority for me over anything else. I guess if you don't have a trickle-down effect and change the rules completely, that's okay. But the top-level guys need to get paid.
The only way you could do something like that, imagine if a conference of football players didn't show up in late July. Imagine somehow if all the SEC football players, the biggest, most powerful conference, got together and said, we don't walk on the campus until we get paid minimum wage. There is too much money floating around in the atmosphere that would be in flux. They would win that argument.
All right, so why doesn't that happen?
You can't get a bunch of 18 and 21-year-olds to organize on that kind of level.
That's very true. Especially ones that, I mean, look, most people go to college football thinking that at some level they do have a chance to get to the NFL. And they want to play. They want to prove themselves and get out of college and go make money being a linebacker for the Patriots or a quarterback for the 49ers. So it is difficult to get them organized like that. All right, 877-3DP shows the phone number. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. If you have a take that makes sense on how NCAA players, athletes are able to get paid that you can put together quickly over the next 6 months that can go into effect over the next 10 years, give us a call. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address is dp@danpatrick.com. 43 minutes past the hour, this is the Dan Patrick Show.
Seton, there are things in life that are okay to cheap out on. You know, if you go to the car wash, just get the express wash.
Yeah.
Just a rinser.
Right.
And you can tidy it up at home. But speaking of cars, the one thing you should never cheap out on is your battery. I'm no tech, but I can tell you that You don't want to be with a bad battery, especially with winter around the corner, and no one wants to end up with a lifelong. My buddy Mark has a car. He was over at my place the other day.
Notoriously cheap Mark is
Mark,
his nickname.
Mark's car battery, I'm not kidding, the other day in Vermont, died in my front yard, and I had to jump his car to get him home.
Come on, Mark. Get it together.
Get it together, Mark. Go to Interstate Battery. That's why you need Interstate Battery. I'm talking to you, Mark. America's number one replacement battery brand. And the battery auto techs prefer three times more than the other brands. Keep your car prepared for anything, especially with winter. Get a quick battery test today to find out if your battery is going to go bad. And make sure you let your family know to check their batteries, too. Come on, family. Find your closest Interstate Batteries dealer at interstatebatteries.com. You can also check them out at Facebook. Interstate Batteries. They're made for you. They're made for Mark. They're outrageously dependable. Check out your batteries at interstatebatteries.com. That's interstatebatteries.com.
Hey, listeners, just wanted to take a minute to thank all our great sponsors and all of you great listeners for supporting this podcast. We certainly couldn't do it without either of you. And I wanted to remind you that you can support our sponsors by going to our show page at podcastone.com, clicking on the Support This Podcast button, and there you will see all our wonderful sponsors that help make this show possible. Thank you for downloading, subscribing, and, of course, supporting. And now back to the show.
Always good to be here on a Friday. Meat Fridays outside. Arcade Fire inside. Super Bowl next week. Down in Miami. Let's go. Boys, we jetting down to Miami, Super Bowl week, busy week ahead. You know, I'm glad that the cameras weren't rolling in the last 5 minutes. Perloff and I challenged Paulie and Seton to a, I don't want to call it a 2-on-2 game. It lasted about what, 3 seconds.
You game challenged one? To a game to 1 point.
Well, first of all, I didn't think the two of you would be running a play. Like, you discussed a play.
We're like Stockton and Malone.
You set a high screen and pick and pop. And
Chris, I don't know what game you're talking about.
Yeah. You
know, I don't see any video footage of said game.
Thank you. Well, first of all, it was your fault.
That was my fault?
That was your fault.
I was in the midst of turning around my hat. I wasn't really trying to focus. I thought Seton and Paulie had a flair for the dramatic and would do something cool for their 1 point. Not just Seton coming off a pick like he did 12 times a day.
That was pretty generic. Yeah, Seton.
One thing that Paul and I know for sure going into every time we've played these games is that you two are not going to be on the same page. That's the one thing I can tell you right about. The next time you come here and we play that game, you two are not going to be on the same page.
I'm terrible at basketball. I'm fantastic at beating you two.
By the way, Paulie set a pick on me. My back was turned, and I was wandering off to the side, and Paulie runs up and puts his chest into me for some bizarre reason.
Big-time basketball.
He's a physical player. Physical player.
Oh, look at this. We do have video. Wonderful. Yeah, bang. Nailed it. Drained it.
We ran off.
See you later.
I threw the ball at him.
I heard when Steve pulls up, I hear Chris go, no, no.
We're still yelling at each other as the cameras stop rolling.
That's a nice switch by you there.
Yeah, good job. Pathetic.
I can watch this all day.
Yeah.
Who were you covering, just out of curiosity?
Where were you? You were just standing there.
Can you guys get me the YouTube link of this, please?
So, Paulie was picking me. Seton was wide open. You were not within 7 feet of Paulie. He was presumably your man. So who did you decide to cover there?
I went under the screen.
See, the problem is you guys set up a system. You play to one, we're gonna win. You play to 11, you're going to beat us 11-4.
I'm dissecting this now. Yeah, that's my fault.
So here's the other thing. Paulie's been practicing this Bruce Bowen baseline jumper every day this week, and he's like, he thinks he's unstoppable for right there. I thought that they were going to work to get that shot.
That was probably my fault.
Seton can do that anytime he wants. Yeah, I didn't even take that into account.
All right, Eli Manning just spoke moments ago in New York explaining his retirement. Here is why he says he's choosing now to retire from the NFL.
Well, I think it was important to me to go out as a Giant. And I think when you get drafted and you come to an organization, I think that's always your goal, to stay with one organization your entire career. As you get towards the end of it, it doesn't always work out that way, and you still have desires to play sometime, but I think it was important. The fans, this organization, this family, to call it a career and to end it instead of trying to uproot my family and leave.
Yeah, look, he's accomplished a lot, two Super Bowl wins. Might as well retire with one organization and go off and potentially have a TV career moving forward. Zion Williamson back in action, game two of his NBA career tonight against the Denver Nuggets. A lot of people will be tuned in for that. Let's go around the room. What did we learn today? Why don't we start with you, Todd Fritz?
Seton sold his plasma twice a week back in college to have a little spending money. I thought that was awesome. I've been working with him many years, never heard that story.
There you go. Perloff.
I learned that Paulie and Seton's pick and roll unstoppable. Stockton and Malone.
I learned that the hard way just moments ago. Seton.
I learned Todd's sense of what's awesome is severely warped. If he thinks selling your plasma once a week is great.
I just think that was very cool.
He's what we learned to getting picked up by the fly. Yeah, Paulie.
Todd had a big loss. He lost to a pair of tongs outside at the patio.
He tried
to open a pair of tongs that were locked in place like all tongs are. And it took him 8 minutes.
I've never seen locked tongs before. My house, they're already right in position for picking
You've
up.
Never used those either.
You're like the adult that has a problem with the child safety locks. How do we work this? How do we open up this bottle? Like, can I open this up?
School smart and street, I'm lost.
All right, what we learned brought to you by LegalZoom. Make 22 a year. You'll remember for the right reason. Use LegalZoom to help you out. Go to LegalZoom.com today and enter promo code Patrick in the box at checkout for special savings. That's LegalZoom.com, promo code Patrick. LegalZoom, where life meets legal.
The hard-hitting streets where you learn how to open tongs as a child.
Yeah, Todd just said street smarts. We're talking about how to use tongs.
Somebody. Not very handy around
We'll see you guys in Miami. I'll be at the venue on Thursday night, live on DAZN. See you guys there. Dan Patrick Show.
As promised, here's a clip from the big podcast with Shaq.
No need wasting time.
Oh, you want to get right to it?
Oh, yeah, let's get right to it.
All right, here we go. Ready?
Boy, he's in an all business mood today.
Well, it's not a little business mood. I just don't like
it. This is a weird, weird story.
It's not weird.
Yes, it is. It is weird.
No, it's not weird.
Okay.
It's the new generation we live in.
Yeah, I think you're right.
People will feel so comfortable in their house and behind their phones and, you know, when they know I'm not around. But I'm not hard to find.
Yeah.
Both guys had ample opportunity. What did they do? Put their heads down like the little puppies they are and walk away.
Now, you see, Shaq, the idea of Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee wanting to fight you.
Okay, this came up, by the way, on Danny Green's podcast.
And it did.
I guess Dwight Howard said, quote, I was like, to JaVale, hey, man, did you want to fight Shaq? And he was like, man, I did. I did, too. But then there's two things we got to worry about. He's a cop, so if we hurt him, we're going to jail. The hell out of here. You're going to hurt Shaq.
No, well,
and two, if Shaq gets a hold of us, it's over.
Either one of them.
But it just speaks to my leadership abilities. Because what I did is I made them become good players. And exactly what I wanted. Exactly what happened to me. Will Chamberlain and Kareem made me so freaking mad. Well, I didn't want to fight them because of the respect I have for them. See, these young guys don't have respect for the elders. But they made me so mad, I said, okay, I'm going to make y'all remember my name. And, I'm noticing their name. You know, JaVale has a couple of championships under his belt, but guess what? You're welcome. I did that. That's what I do. I make people so pissed off. They want to fight me. Kobe wanted to fight me. How many rings we got, B-Dog, Mr. Refreshments?
Well, wait a minute now.
Mr. Refreshments, how many rings I got?
Kobe had five, you have four.
Okay, no, but how many rings do me and Kobe have?
Y'all got three.
Exactly. So that's what a leader does. I ruffle feathers. I know what the hell I'm doing.
Like,
I know they're playing. But I'm just saying that what I did to ruffle their feathers made them okay players. JaVale has two rings, and Dwight, if they keep playing, he's going to have a ring. And all I can say is you're welcome.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You wouldn't expect to hear that we're America's third best city for beer like this one. Or home to vibes like this. And this. It might surprise you that we're top 10 for immersive art that's like,
whoa.
And?
Hmm.
Not to mention, we have one of the top zoos in the country. So can a city with the country's best pro soccer team, ranking as a top culinary destination in the world, be in your own backyard? Yes, Columbus. Plan your summer at experiencecolumbus.com/summer.
Seton, what if I told you there's a bacon, then there's number one thick cut, tastes like a touchdown in your mouth bacon?
You must be talking about Wright brand bacon, because mm-hmm. they are not playing when it comes to the premium quality of their bacon.
It's thick cut, hand trimmed, and real wood smoke, real. And you can tell.
So why settle for average bacon when you can have the real stuff?
That's right. And if you're looking to upgrade any meal, try Wright brand bacon. That's called Wright brand bacon. You won't regret it.
Experience bacon the right way.
The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
I won! Yahoo! Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sarge, High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone. Goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again!
Platoon, present cell phone. High five.
High five.
Casino.
Casino.
Win at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino. No.